that one way to humble yourself is to kind of take a bigger picture and realize you never actually did anything yourself, if that makes sense.
Hey everyone, welcome to
Attentive Fatherhood
on the Bleav Podcast Network. I'm Bradley Hazemeyer. Each week, I bring you honest and hilarious conversations with men from all types of backgrounds. But at the end of the day, we all just want to be better dads. Hey, attempters, question. What is it like to be so passionate about dad life that you would sell your house and put your family of five in an RV to tour the country and talk to fathers? Only Townsend Russell from 100% Dad can answer that one. But first, hey guys, happy April. Woo! Spring has sprung, right? Georgia's getting warmer, sunnier, the grass is getting greener. Things are looking good. I'm enjoying it. It's a kind of a cold day today, but I know it's going to get better. What's been happening with you guys? I got a tattoo a few weeks ago. Thought I'd share that little bit of information. I already had one on my left arm on the inside, kind of near the bicep. My bicep, not just the bicep. It was kind of a tribute to our foster daughter, Ashley. It says, Cis Juan, or Cis Juan. There it is, Cis Juan. It's French, means June 16th. That's the day she graduated from high school. It was a huge deal for her to make it through all the adversity that she was facing. And in fact, Kirsten and Ashley both got the same one too, which is really cool. This time, we decided to get a Roman numeral X. I say we, Kirsten and myself, to mark 10 years of marriage, which was actually last year. I posted a picture on my Instagram at Bhaz, B-H-A-Z. You can go check it out there if you're into tattoos or whatever. We were actually going to do it last May, but evidently even small tattoos can't get submerged in water for a few weeks. And you got two kids out of school for the summer in Georgia. It's hot, and they were not going to just let me sit on the sidelines for a month while they played in the pool. Also, Lowick can't swim. Ellis was really just becoming a better swimmer. So that was just out of the question. So we waited a while, finally got it done, and I love it. I don't know what your thought is on tattoos, but as I get older, I really like this idea of permanence. It becomes more powerful in my life, this idea, this is forever. This is on my skin forever, which I was actually telling myself, forever is not all that long. If you're 20 and you're looking at getting a tattoo, yeah, really think about it and go for, I'm 40. You know what I mean? I mean, I hope I live to be 100, but still, that's like 20 years that I didn't have to worry about. Anyway. You know what I'm saying. I don't know how you feel about ink, but I'm really digging it. All right, this week, I'm chatting with Townsend Russell. He's the creator of 100% Dad. I don't know if you follow these guys on Instagram or you're on their subscription newsletters or whatever, but their whole mission is to bring wisdom and encouragement to dads. I actually found him on Instagram. I follow a lot of dad accounts, and of course, Instagram suggests others. And I noticed right away, this account was different. Most of the dad accounts out there, right, they have memes, they have dad jokes, and those are great, and I love them, and I follow all of them, and it's great. But you can really tell that Townsend has a focus on practical advice and thoughts that get you, thinking. Thoughts that get you thinking, which they do a good job. It's these little bite-sized posts. You can think about it. You can think on it. You can talk to other people about it. And I love that. All right, some dad stats real quick. He's 35. He's been married for 15 years. Yeah, do the quick math. That's getting married at 20. Maybe you got married at 20, but not me. That was 10 years before I did. They have three boys. 11, 8, and 5. And someone asked me the other day, they said, Bradley, because that's me. They said, how come you do dad stats? What's the point of that? And I said, I think it's to give dads who are listening, like yourself, some element at the beginning of like, oh, I can relate to that. Maybe you got married. Maybe you don't even have kids, but you got married young. Or maybe you have kids that are in that 11, 8, 5. You're talking about Roblox and social media, or, you know, maybe you've got young kids and you can relate to somebody who's got young kids. So I like having that in there just so you can relate as well. At the time, Townsend was on the road, which I guess actually is where he will be all the time now. They sold their house, and he and his family of five have crammed themselves into an RV. And he's like, look, this is an RV, but it's not like big time RV. So it's very small. I think he said 500 square feet, something like that. That's not very big. Either way, he was in his RV, and you can watch some of the interview. You can see some of his RV on our Instagram page at Attempting Fatherhood, and of course, YouTube as well. All the links to that as well as to 100% Dad are in the notes below. So check them out. Not now. You're driving or you're cutting the grass, or you're working out, whatever, keep doing what you're doing. And then when you're done, go to the notes. With Townsend, we talked about him starting the brand, why he picked the name, spoiler, not his first choice. And this was really interesting about his dad, who left Townsend when he was only like 3 weeks old. And how, as Townsend has gotten older, he's found the positive aspects to his father that he really wants to pass on, and how that was hard at first for him to separate frustration with this man who wasn't around, but then being able to find things that he did like, which I thought was really cool. Okay, but enough about me. This week, let's hear how Townsend Russell is attempting fatherhood. Well, first off, welcome to the show, Russell Townsend. Thank you. 100% dad. It's a great name. I'm glad it's not 90% dad, because that 10%, you just wonder what else would that be? Was there ever a thought of like 110%
dad? 100%
dad
was like my 37th choice of name. Just the other 36 were taken already. So.
Oh, no. What was your ultimate?
So really, it's a platform and a brand. So I wanted something like Dad Life or, some variation of that. And I even tried to buy it. I reached out to a couple of them that had platforms, that had names, that had, trademarks or copyrights. And I was like, hey, you're not using it. Like, you haven't posted anything anywhere since, 3 years ago. And everyone I reached out to was like, no, we got big plans for it. I'm like, all right, sure you do.
Do you though?
No, they don't. Right, I'm sure if I looked right now, they still aren't doing squat.
Well, thank you for being here. Thanks for being on the show. I found you on Instagram because Instagram knows what I like, and they served me up some, you should check this guy out. And I was like, I should. I love the account. I love the whole kind of ethos of 100% Dad. Seems like it's, let's encourage dads, let's get behind dads, let's promote dads, essentially. Could you explain a little bit about what that is, and then how you came to it, and then we'll start talking dad life in terms of your own actual dad life?
Sure. 100% Dad's a platform for dads. 100% of the content is meant for dads. We have a long-term vision that is very much different than what it is now, right? Because right now it's just me. We are hiring currently, so we can kind of help with the content side of it. But the whole theme of it can be boiled down to one line, which is our tagline of we provide encouragement and wisdom for dad. So, the content we put out, we want to be a little nugget of information or a little nugget of encouragement in the dad space. And, that's going to apply to single dad sometimes, married dad sometimes, dad of girls, dad of boys, dad of teenagers, dad of babies. So the content varies. We just wanted to be a father platform. Because I had stuff to say about the subject, and I can say it now, and I can, travel and do that. And
that's the greatest reason to ever do anything, is because I wanted to, and so I did.
And it's been an interesting experience to say, I really like business. Like, it's something that's a bit of an obsession for me. It's probably an addiction for me. And I also like my family. And as an entrepreneur, there's a struggle to the balance. And you never really get a balance. You just kind of have like an ebb and a flow to it.
Yeah.
And I found a way to do both of them now. Of course, this really isn't a business yet. This is more of a money sucking mission. I think we've got like $300,000 or $400,000 into it, and we haven't made a single dollar.
This is your own pyramid scheme that's just internal. It's just like, I just keep putting money into it, and one day it's going to pop, and I'll get the Cadillac, and I'll be working from the beach.
We really want to do a dad conference. We're going to try and kick one off this fall.
What was it about the dad space that you felt like was lacking? I mean, clearly there are, I'm not saying you're the key that fits the whole thing, so don't feel that pressure, but what was it that you kind of identified in that space and you felt like, I feel like dads need X, Y, and Z, and here's why.
In the dad space, in the mom space, there's tons of encouragement. There's tons of different forums. And if you're a mom in, this vertical, then, you've got a support structure. You've got information. You've got people that have your back. They're also incredibly vicious on the mom stuff too, but because if they disagree, when they disagree with each other, they're pretty mean, but they are on the father stuff too. Most of the father stuff I found, was a subsection of the mom stuff. It was kind of like an afterthought, a little bit of, here's some dad stuff. The dad stuff was based on comedy, or sports. And it was kind of playing into that dads are idiots kind of theme of here's jokes, let's make fun of it. Huge followings. I mean, if we switched to that, we'd be millions of followers overnight. If we just, made fun of dads and poked fun and made jokes and all that kind of stuff, it'd be an easy growth method, because entertainment is what attracts eyes and attracts attention in today's age, and that's just a reality. So we wanted to be more informative, more encouraging, more uplifting, because there really just wasn't that content out there. You had a little bit in the man space, a few out there that are encouraging men to embrace masculinity and kind of step back up into that role. You have a few out there in the marriage space of husbandry, but I couldn't find any in the fatherhood space, and I really felt there deserved to be. And it's a space that's really grown, like you said, since 2020. It's really grown the last couple of years, and that's a good thing. You know, the bigger the space is, the better. You know, I'm all for there being 100 million of these things, and lots more podcasts, and other conferences, and other personalities in the space. Because the more it gets talked about, the bigger it gets. The better it's going to be for us as well, and the better it's going to be for communities as a whole. Because that's how powerful I think fatherhood is, and how impactful it can be.
So, how long have you been doing this?
We started touring in May of 2020. So that's really when we got serious about it. And then the months leading up to it, we had gotten more active on social media, and we were stoked because I grew that Instagram platform from 0 followers to like 200 and something, over the course of like 6 months. And I'm like, man,
yeah.
The fact that 200 people are that I don't know are following and listening and engaging with us. This is so cool. And I was really excited about it. In fact, my first plan was I was thinking about, how can we grow? Kind of get into that entertainment side, maybe I'll cause I was growing my hair out cause my wife said I was going bald. So, as my act of rebellion, I just grew it out the like Jesus length.
Great. Great.
I was like, maybe I'll just shave my head, or cut my hair or something. I think my first thought was when we get to 1,000 followers, I'm like, that'll be my incentive, like for people to follow. Yeah. And then after we got to 1,000, I had never put that. I was like, maybe I'll do that for like the 10,000 follower mark. And, I never did. And we got past those, and I'm kind of thankful for it. So we haven't resorted to those tactics yet.
Not yet. There's still plenty of time, though. You still got time.
Well, no, I cut the hair.
Oh, it's gone?
It's gone. I hated it. I hated long hair. I know a lot of guys have it, and they love it. And it's like, I know different cultures take hair length as like a sign of masculinity and strength. I couldn't stand it. It was always getting pulled, especially with little kids. Tug of war kind of thing. And it just gets accidentally yanked. I was pulling it like while I was sleeping, I have to, the showering process is all that much more difficult. Then I'm like having to start to using the same tools my wife uses in the bathroom. I got to like brush my hair. I got to put product in my hair. I got to actually use shampoo and conditioner. I got to start putting this thing in a ponytail so it stays out of my face.
You're like, done. So I was not done with that. All right. I want to get into your dad stats. I noticed you have 3 boys. How long have you been married? And obviously 3 boys. What are their ages?
Ages are 11, 8, and 5. Married a while, 15 years-ish.
15, that's great.
I'm not exactly sure. Well,
that counts.
I can do the math on that. When the anniversaries get close, I try and figure it out.
Try to remember.
We also have like 37 different anniversaries, so it's hard to remember which one counts as which time.
What do you mean?
So, we got married in secret first. So we got legally married. Then we got married. Then we had the wedding. That's when everyone else kind of knew. Like our parents knew, but no one else. And we did it in like a different city. That way, it didn't get published in the newspaper and people didn't figure it out because we were teenagers. So it was, we didn't want it to be scandalous. And
we're from a small town. It would have been 19. How old were you?
I would have just turned 20, within a month. And so she still would have been 19 or 18. Probably 19.
Okay. And then that's kind of a natural progression into were you always like, I can't wait to be a dad. We're going to have 100 kids. Or was it kind of like, we'll just kind of see what happens. Or how was that when you guys got married?
100%. We got married young because we were both on the same page. We really kind of knew what we wanted in life. We were kind of too, I don't know if I'd say mature, but to a certain extent, kind of mature souls. And we kind of planned a future together. It did not go the way we thought it was going to go, but we had talked about
it. Rarely kids. Does.
The broad strokes, were good. We wanted to get married and not get divorced. Like we didn't want to be
great,
a divorced household. We wanted to raise kids together. Have kids cool. relatively young, not have kids when we're older. You know, we wanted to have multiple kids. I think the discussion was always three or four, but we'll kind of see how it goes. And, you know, what if we can't have kids was a talk. And then, you know, we'd be open to adoption, yeah. you know, things like that, you know, boy, girl, you can't really control, but we always thought we'd have, you know, a boy, a girl, and maybe another boy or girl, then maybe two boys, two girls, you know, that'd always be, you know, the kind of the dream yep. scenario, 50-50. Instead, yep. we had three boys.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it's we were on the same, and we handled money well together. Like, we were cool. both, like, very money conscious. Like, we both had savings and didn't spend a lot and, like, didn't care about doing what's cool and trendy. Yeah, just, yeah. like, that stuff didn't matter to us. And we just didn't waste money just to keep up, you know, in high school terms.
Right.
I don't know what that would be, but in grown-up terms, just keep up with the Joneses.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Noom. Noom uses the latest in behavioral science to empower people to take control of their health for good through a combination of psychology, technology, and human coaching on their platform, and to help millions of users meet their personal health and wellness goals. Now, a lot of people, of course, face pressures to change themselves, to fit other people's expectations. And the reality is the more freeing solution is to find what works for you, right? That's what Attempting Fatherhood's all about. What works for you? Noom understands that everyone's weight loss journey is unique, and what works for someone else doesn't mean it'll work for you. That's why Noom's approach adapts to your lifestyle. It's flexible. It focuses on progress, not perfection, allowing you to work toward a goal at a pace that's comfortable for you. Noom Weight makes it easy to start your weight loss journey and stay on track with personalized lessons to help you gain confidence and practical knowledge, one-on-one coaching, which obviously is extremely helpful, and a cognitive behavioral approach that teaches you how to be mindful of your habits. Listen to this. 75% of Noom Weight users finished the program, and more than 60% of the users that engaged with the program kept the weight off for a year or more. That's a big deal. So start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/believe. Again, that's Noom, Noom.com/believe, BLEAV. All right, back to the show.
Especially, I would say, with what you have done and what you're doing, I would say that's probably one of the most vital aspects to success is you and your wife being on the same page on so many things. The longer I'm married, the more I see that in other couples that it's lacking, and how tense that can be and how frustrating that can be. And just so grateful. I was literally talking to my wife last night about it, just that we're on the same page with so many things. Life is already hard enough, and there's so many other things pulling at you, and like, I don't know, should we move, and should we do this, and should we invest, like, you know, invest in this or whatever. And to be on the same page there and not have to worry about that is like, what a blessing, and, you know, an invaluable asset to your own personal life that is.
Which is why most people that are in the marriage space, like, so hard push premarital counseling, like, talk with somebody, talk with the pastor, go to actual, like, counseling sessions, read the same books, like, because it fosters that communication.
Yeah.
And it gets you on the same page. You might learn that you're really, it doesn't seem like you're compatible, but that's kind of like not the end game. It's really, like you said, about the communication. It's nice to know, like, you know, religion, kids, that kind of stuff can be deal breaking sometimes. Yeah. Like, hey, yeah. I'm diehard Christian, you're Muslim or Jewish or whatever, and, you know, both of you are diehard, and
yep.
that could be hard to make happen,
right.
and that could create problems. So you really have to discuss, like, okay, are we just going to bring them up in both and, like, appreciate the good sides to both of these, or that becomes a very, like, there's a very much a thing you have to talk about. But it's a communication, because, I mean, I've met people with different faiths that are married and raising their kids fine. Just they've talked about it and they figured out how they're going to raise a child in this. And, you know, two people who are exactly the same probably shouldn't necessarily get married. You know, I get in trouble for saying it every once in a while, but two people that are alike, you know, one of them's unnecessary. It's redundant.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can complement each other with our different perspectives. You know, it's that communication, I think, in the long run, of being able to sit down and talk out differences and work through things together as a team. And one of those great visuals is, like, hey, if we have a problem, we don't sit at the dining room table, like, mom across from dad, and, like, fight about this problem. We kind of sit on the same side of the table mm-hmm. next to each other and say, hey, this is the problem.
That's great.
Let's get at this together. And it's just, you know, that ability to work through those things is, I think, what really helps in relationships.
Yeah, that's an awesome little tip right there. Is that something that came up through therapy for you guys or just through life, or, you know, that concept of that, physically being next to each other and that?
That visual, that perspective was a podcast I did with, it was in Knoxville, Tennessee. The guy's name was The Tattooed Husband on Instagram.
Oh, that's funny. I'm from Knoxville, so I don't know why. I don't know Tattooed Husband. I'll have to look him up.
Yeah, so his Instagram page is mostly like coffee, Christian faith,
right
and
now.
Something
this
else.
Is happening right now.
But we were going to be in Knoxville on tour, and I was like, I stumbled across him. I'm like, hey, I see you're in Knoxville. He's like, yeah. I'm like, let's do a podcast. He's like, all right. So I went over to his house, and we recorded a podcast. He's got a few kids and interesting business. We had a fun little podcast, but that was something that they do as a couple. Because every relationship, especially a marriage, like to think you're going to have that fairy tale Disney style perfect relationship, we're going to be happy all the time, is such a fallacy. It's not true. That couple that you think is awesome, whether it's a celebrity couple or just on the outside at, you know, in your social circle or in the community or at church, they have problems. They have fights. Like, and sometimes it gets real bad and real ugly and real nasty, but they work through those things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the real key. Not that we'll never have problems, that we're willing to work through these problems together.
100%. Yeah. I think that's great. I want to get into a little bit about kind of where your passion for fatherhood comes from in getting into that question of, you know, what was your dad life like in terms of your father to you? What is something you had growing up that you love that you're incorporating into your fathering? And then what is something maybe that was absent or was present that you didn't want that you were kind of actively leaving out, especially because you got married so young?
Yeah. So my whole life, I've been looking for that father figure that I ultimately wanted.
Okay.
And did so, you, I mean, if you really got into it,
or
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
I'll dive into it a little bit.
Yeah. As much as you want to.
I try not to. So he's still living, still involved. So I try not to crap on him too much.
Totally.
Because he's sensitive and he'll take it personally.
Well, look, I've learned that people don't know what they don't know. And for the most part, people are doing the best they can. It's just,
oh, sure.
Unfortunately, that isn't always the level that we would want.
And when you talk about anybody who has had an influence in your life, there's positive and negative aspects to everybody. And so, you know, that's something we put out there and post before of like, examine that relationship with your father and, you know, find the things he did well and try and replicate those and find the things that you really disagreed with. And, you know, very actively try and not replicate those and talk about those with your family, especially your spouse, so that you can be held accountable. Because inevitably, we were raised whatever way we were raised, and some of those things are going to pop up and come to the surface, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, so
and
true.
To be held accountable if we're trying to make a change there is really a key aspect. But so a lot of the good things my dad did... one, they divorced when I was like 2 weeks old. So
you just froze.
The relationship with him was, yeah. I'm here. Oh. I can hear you. It's not freezing on my end.
Yeah, we were just kind of talking about, you know, what your kind of advice was, which is along the lines of one of the questions I always ask my dads, which is, you know, what was it from your childhood that you're hanging on to that you loved, and what is something you're getting rid of? And so I was curious kind of from your own experience, what that is for you guys.
Yeah. So my relationship with my father isn't perfect. Like, we have a relationship. It's just not, it's not anything close or something like that. So I think divorced my mom when I was a baby. I think, you know, the story's always been that he left at like 1 or 2 weeks old, something like that, maybe 3 weeks.
Just wow.
Yeah, super
real young.
Super young. And I had an older sister at that point too. But he was always kind of around. You know, we kind of did like every other weekend kind of stuff. And I was so young at that point. Like the divorce didn't really like, it didn't tear me apart or anything. I never knew that life. It was always, you know, it was weird to me when someone lived with their mom and dad. I thought that was a strange thing.
My normal, sure.
Was not that. So, I try and be careful in the way I characterize him because he is still alive. I'm sure he follows this content.
Yeah.
And so I try not to shred him or anything, you know, because he would,
yeah,
he would take that personally. It would hurt his feelings. But it's kind of, it is what it is also at the same point. So he was, there are good aspects to him. And so I've been like really happy and successful in life. And I can have quite the ego. And quite the hubris, and I, you know, I really get high on myself. And so one of the things I learned was that one way to humble yourself is to kind of take a bigger picture and realize you never actually did anything yourself. If that makes sense, the people, you know, the books you read gave you the ideas in the business. You know, your philosophy on certain aspects of business and life came from somewhere, you know, came from church, came from a mentor, came from a book, came from a TV show,
yeah,
or some piece of content you absorbed. So a lot of people have had an impact in my life. And even those negative things, you know, when you have the chip on the shoulder, when you have the motivation to prove someone wrong because someone wronged you, they disrespected you, you know, that motivation helped you become who you are, helped you gain those successes. And to hold on to that resentment and be mad at people for so long when the fact that they disrespected you helped you become the person you are today, you should almost be thankful.
Wow.
You should almost be thankful that they gave you that disrespect,
right,
that chip on your
way to flip it. Yeah.
That was your motivation. That was your drive. And so I try and keep that perspective. And then I've had a lot of father figures in life, my life, my own father, my stepfather. I've lived with a friend and they're, you know, kind of took on other people's dads as a dad or as a male influence. And I think my whole
life,
my whole life I've been trying to find like the perfect male role model or father figure. And I never found that. And so that's something I still strive to be. But in all of those guys, there were good things and there were bad things. You know, with my father, he was, he very much taught us, you know, how to be independent and how to take care of yourself, how to kind of not care about other people's opinions, how to give your best effort in certain things. And then there was a lot of negative aspects that we learned that were not good. That I don't think I'd really want to get into, but you know, there were good things and bad things. And so I try and replicate the good things that he did, and I try and make sure we intentionally make an effort, both my wife and I, that I don't get into the position to where I'm kind of acting like him in other aspects, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I've always tried to be the best version of all these influences in my life. And I, you know, for a while I took it personally that somebody I admired in one aspect of life, you know, kind of failed me in a sense in another aspect of life. And, you know, I've really, in the last 10 years, I've been able to kind of switch that and just appreciate them for what they do in one aspect of their life and not punish them for the other, you know, shortcomings or failures that they do. And that I just have I want to put, you know, for so long as a kid, as a teenager and in my 20s, I wanted to put some guys on that, you know, on that pedestal of like the perfect role model. And,
yeah,
you know, the reality is that
probably
just doesn't exist, at least not in my life. And so I am trying to be that to my own boys, but at the same point, trying not to get too high on my own horse, I guess.
No, that's good. So many great things there. I mean, I think, you know, clearly so many men deal with similar situations, right? I mean, half of marriages fail, or at least, you know, let's not even say fail, just half end in divorce, you know, because maybe that, you know, works out somehow or whatever. But so there are plenty of dads I've spoken with on my podcast, I'm sure you as well, who come from a broken family. It could have been later in life, it could have been early in life, whatever. And so, you know, I'm glad that you can speak to that with authority rather than just kind of like conceptual. So that's really cool. So I appreciate you kind of honoring us with that. And I also wonder, you know, that pursuit for perfection, looking for that you know, perfect role model or whatever. Does that feel like that's a big weight on your shoulders? Like you've got to be that for your boys, or is there kind of like you've come to after a while, you're like, I'm going to have positive things, I'm going to have negative things, my boys will be in therapy. It's just a matter of like, what can I miniaturize the amount of sessions they need? Like, how do you come at that, having pursued perfection and searched for it, but then also kind of being like, maybe it's not there?
A bit of transparency that's age appropriate. I'm going to be in a unique situation because I'm in the fatherhood space as a business. So I've really blended family and fatherhood, or I blended the family aspect and the business aspect of fatherhood. And I mean, we travel on a trailer that says 100% dad on it. And, you know, they always know I'm out there putting content and writing blogs and writing content for books and doing podcasts. And so they know without a doubt that their dad is giving his best effort and trying to understand fatherhood. So I don't think there's really a scenario where they're going to get to their teenage years, their 20s or 30s or 40s and be like, gosh, he was such a miserable failure and he really tortured us. I think they're going to know there was real intention to give his best in fatherhood. Even if it didn't come across perfectly or I was mistaken in my path, that there was real, there was a reason. Like, I thought going, you know, doing XYZ was the best path because of these reasons. And I'm very transparent with that. Maybe 20, 30 years from now, we learned that that was completely wrong. I don't think so. I don't think there's going to be anything that dramatic.
Yeah. Right.
There's just such transparency in the why behind I do what I do and why I'm so involved with them and why they are being disciplined and why they are being rewarded. I'm always trying my best to have that well-rounded relationship. They're just going to have a ton of perspective that I think the people with the real scar, the real scars in life, they don't have that. They don't have a father that was explaining why.
Yeah.
That he was just maybe more authoritarian or absent or neglected or withheld love and attention or physical touch or words of affirmation, those kind of things. But a lot of those, when you really read into stories of those kind of things, of those people who have those childhood traumas and then go to their fathers, if they're able to later in life, you know, on the deathbeds and things like that, and they say, you know, Dad, why did you do this? That, you know, they usually had a reason. One of the great stories out there, I can't remember where I got it from, but it was a guy who really kind of withheld love and attention. He just worked really hard, but I don't think he ever told his kids he loved them. He was always there. He just wasn't affectionate. He wasn't loving. He wasn't vulnerable at any level with them. And, you know, when his kids were in his 30s, 40s, kind of damaged from not having a father that loved him. You know, one of them came and asked him, like, Dad, why can't we hug? Why can't we get?
Yeah, what was up with that?
You love me, like, And I think they came and said that to him, like, I love you. I don't know why you've never said that to me, and those kind of things. And, you know, he just kind of sat there and, you know, started crying and was like, my dad died when I was 11 years old. Like, I loved him to death. He was super, like, played with me all the time, and it crushed me. And I never wanted that for you boys. You know, I forget what job he worked, but it had an element of danger to it. Maybe he was a firefighter or something like that. And he was like, I just knew there is very possible that I didn't come back one day. And I needed you guys to be able to move on and not be as crushed as I was.
Wow.
Super flawed. I mean, he was wrong 100%.
Wow.
But there was intent.
Wow.
There.
That
explanation of the why kind of healed. Not completely, but it really gave some healing to those wounds of, oh, there was a reason. He cared about me so much that he didn't want me to care about him. Stupid, completely flawed, but there was
a you learn that there was intentionality and somehow that's kind of healing. You know, how has fatherhood for you personally evolved, the definition, I guess?
I don't think I've really changed that much. I wanted to be involved. It's one of the reasons I wanted kids young was I wanted to play with them. I wanted to wrestle with them. I wanted to relate to them. I didn't want to be too tired to engage with them. And we've lived a life the whole time. I've been a small business owner since day one. You know, I started a business when my wife was like 6 months pregnant because, you know, I wanted a little bit more control over our lives and, you know, among other goals. And so, like, all of that was done for them. And we've lived this life to where when you're a small business owner, you can be completely consumed by the business. But if you live life another way, you can have a lot of freedom. And so there were a lot of times growing up, even when we had the business, that I was there breakfast, lunch, and dinner because, you know, the warehouse was close by. I'd go to work at 5 a.m., come back around 8 or 9, eat breakfast.
Pop over, come in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like this ebb and flow. And they could always come to the warehouse, come to the office to meet me or have lunch with me, things like that. It was kind of like just always there. And I've loved that. That's been our whole life is like we're all just kind of intertwined in everything. Now more so than ever. I mean, now it's at an extreme level. The fact that we're in an RV and 400 square foot together all the time, one vehicle, if we're going somewhere, we're all going together. And we are like on top of each other. They just left about a minute before we started this podcast, just so there was some silence in this RV. I think there's some different tactics I've come across in the way we discipline, in the way we encourage, and how we're handling difficulties, things like that, especially in like the marriage relationship. Like, we've been able to evolve that and we learn more and more and more and apply those things. And we almost get better at being married. You know, we can get better at being a father as well.
Well, I'm going to let you go, but before I do, I always ask my dads for some dad advice, something to encourage. I mean, this is what you guys do. You encourage and you give wisdom to dads. What is something you would say to kind of all the dads out there to give some dad advice, encouragement today?
Ooh, how about just something to think about? Because I was thinking about this earlier. I'm going to do a post on it.
Ooh. Okay, I like it.
Your kid's behavior is a direct reflection of your parenting.
Ooh.
Something to think about.
Boom.
Whether you like it or not. It there. Something just to think hot about. Take.
Throwing it out there. Well, Townsend Russell, thank you so much for attempting fatherhood.
All right, I appreciate you having me on. It was fun. Yep, stay in touch.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to Attempting Fatherhood. My whole hope with this is that we build a community that encourages dads and that brings new information to the table and gets you excited about living your life, doing what you're doing. If you have felt that way, please make sure you rate us on Spotify, on Apple. Just rate us, give us some stars, hopefully five, and make sure you share this. That's equally important. It's a great way to build community, to share this information with other dads, you know, start a text chain, whatever. That helps us, that helps you. We grow this community and all that. Thanks again for listening. Make sure you're following us on Instagram @AttemptingFatherhood. Again, thank you so much and have a great day.